Hi there, and a warm welcome to the inaugural Racing Only Better podcast, a new weekly betting podcast in association with Betfair. And for this historic occasion, I'm delighted to be joined by my old sparring partner, Kevin Blake of ITV and Sky Sports Racing, and Betfair Barry Orr.
Tiger Royal joins the greats. Dono Star has done it. He's won five King Georges.
But over the course of the next 30, 40 minutes, we're going to be talking about all things betting, looking ahead to the weekend. We're going to be hearing from David Johnson of Timeform. He's going to be joining us in our Under the Radar section, which is going to be a regular feature of the show. We're also going to be talking about where the money's going. And more importantly, we're going to try and find you a few winners over the course of the weekend. But guys in the studio here, just before we start to look forward, we've got to maybe look back to last week, the last week or so, I should say. Great racing last weekend. Kevin, you were at Doncaster for the St. Ledger. You were the best of both worlds, really. What sort of a day was that, and how good a winner do you think Logician was?
I think he was very good, Gary, because I don't think that's really his trip. You know, I think Frankie did an exceptional job in getting him back after he got a bit of a run of him out of the stalls. And yeah, I think he'll be back at a mile and a half next season and looks a proper potential Group 1 winner. Over that type of trip. Great day, big crowd, great weather. And then back to the Curragh on Sunday, where it proceeded to rain all day. But that was one of the coolest days racing I've been involved in I've attended in a long time. Primarily, you know, we had Pinatubo and everything else, but the Pat Smullen race was just absolutely fabulous. The buzz around it, the feeling of goodwill that was just emanating from every angle of the track. It was just absolutely brilliant. And we had an update just before we went on air. They're past the 2.5 million mark in terms of raising money for Cancer Trials Ireland. So that'll be one I think we'll all be looking back on many years in the future with a lot of fondness.
Yeah, I think everybody was involved, Barry, can be proud of their efforts last weekend. Just touching on Pinatubo, Kevin mentioned him there. So impressive. It was the defining performance, I think, of the weekend. You were telling me a little bit earlier on, this is a bit of a curveball now, we didn't rehearse this, but there are prices for the Dewhurst. What price have you stuck him in at?
4-11 for the Dewhurst, actually, and it's 14-1 bar. He obviously was the standout two-year-old, and he is the standout two-year-old, but I think there's so much more around Irish Champions Weekend. For me, Ryan Moore really showed, you know, the Ryan Moore of old. I think he'd 14 rides, he rode five winners, he'd four runners-up. You know, the stable's in good form as well. Blissful, who he opened his account on for the day on Saturday in Leopardstown, hit a high of 36 in running to win a nose. That was really Ryan Moore at his vintage best. And for me, I think the takeaway of the weekend was Ryan, how well he's riding. Big finish looks like for the season to come during the autumn for Aidan O'Brien. And Norway, I'm going to give him a mention for the weekend. He was the best backed horse over the 2 days of Irish Champions
Weekend.
That
was one of those they knew moments, wasn't it?
Really was. Yeah, obviously Shamey in the plate there. Ryan didn't get to ride that one, but it was 12-1 in the morning, backed into 8-1 and went off 7-2 joint favourite. So, you know, he's got the world at his feet now in terms of some of the staying races he might head to for the Quipco Champions. But for me, Norway was a real standout this weekend.
I'm not sure whether Betfair have prices on the Cartier Awards. It's probably one of the few things they don't have prices on, Kev. But a few people would be surprised to know that Magical is leading the way in the standings for that award. Is that a surprise to you? I presume you're aware of it, but with the Enable and what she's done and all the talk about her, I guess it's a reward for consistency, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really care less about those awards, to be honest, Gary. You know, great dinner at the end of the year and everyone has a great time, but in terms of what they are and how they're judged, they wouldn't really be for me. You know, they reward horses that are out a little bit more often than others, perhaps. You know, that's why Magical is in front. She's been a model of consistency, a wonderful filly all season. But, you know, for me, I think these awards should reward the very best rather than other facets of what makes up that equation. So, yeah, while I'm open to an invitation to dinner if they want to bring me over, but it wouldn't
very
be.
Very good dinner, as you say.
Yeah. I probably spoiled my chance there, have I?
We're not betting on it for a very good reason. Enables a certainty to win it, isn't she? You know what?
You would imagine. If the Ark is won, that has to be it, doesn't it?
Curtains all over.
Okay, we'll park last weekend's action there for now. Just before we look forward to the coming weekend, guys, one other thing I wanted to touch upon was these barrier trials, because there's been plenty of talk about these, particularly in recent days, because there have been a couple of very well-backed winners, or certainly horses whose prices have contracted markedly, including one of Gerry Keane's at Nace the other day. Barry, I'll come to you in a sec, but Kev, just tell us a little bit more about these. They've been going in other racing jurisdictions for a while. Maybe just flesh out exactly what the idea is and what what purpose they serve.
Yeah, look, Gary, essentially they're simulated flat races. You know, they're run out of stalls, the owner silks are carried, they're all ridden by jockeys, licensed jockeys, and they've been a big part of racing in Australia and New Zealand for a long, long time. They're actually mandatory in Australia. You can't run as a two-year-old or a three-year-old unless you've had a trial. So they never really took off over here, but ITM, Irish Thoroughbred Marketing, they started them May 12 months ago with a view to trying to feed the Asian markets where there is a demand for unraced two-year-olds. And they've been really popular. They've been well supported by a lot of big trainers. They're a great facility for smaller trainers who wouldn't necessarily have the facilities to simulate a situation like that on their own home gallops. And like I say, ITM have been putting the videos up. You know, it's just amazed me, to be honest, Gary, in recent days, how few people, and I'm not trying to be smart, but I'm amazed how few people seem to be aware of them, because they, you know, there's been winners coming out of them for 18 months. You know, they've been referenced in, you know, the Racing Post, irishracing.com, at the races, Racing TV.
They're free to attend, aren't they? You don't have to pay to watch them. It's not a closed shop, is it?
No, and you can go online and watch the videos. You know, they have the full form. They don't have weights. That's important to say. So you're guesstimating somewhat with what weights are being carried. But they've been very useful, I found, in terms of adding some colour to the picture with unraced two-year-olds. Because normally we're flying blind. We've got their pedigrees. We might have some big race entries, but that's all we have, bar a bit of chit-chat you might get on the track. Whereas now, a lot of these horses have turned up in barrier trials, and you can look at their trial and assess them. And the bookmakers have been asleep at the wheel a little bit with this. You know, we had a
well. Barry's ears have just perked up there. Have you been asleep at the wheel, Barry? And certainly some bookies have, I think, because that horse of Jerry Keane's, that I think was as high as 33, 40, 66. 50. Was it 66, yeah. Really?
And that was a well-bred two-year-old as well. So they've been sleeping at the wheel on two counts there, and had come out and won a barrier trial in good style a few weeks ago. Had been well talked about afterwards, but it's something that seemingly hasn't been taken into account by everyone, which is somewhat surprising, like I say, because they've been around for a long time, and they've got plenty of airtime. Maybe I'm in a little bubble now, because I'm obviously involved in the bloodstock side of things, and a lot of the pushing of the videos and the form and the concept would have been in the bloodstock world, because that's where it's aimed, rather than to the betting public. But, you know, it's there, it's been talked about.
Yeah, I'm sure the unique visitors to the Irish Thoroughbred Marketing website have increased exponentially off the back of especially Colin Keane's winner. But I suppose there is an element of some odds compilers probably not paying as much attention to them as they should have, which is evident in how well some of them have ran vis-a-vis their continued contraction in price. They're obviously not run under the rails, so we're never going to be able to bet on them. And it's not something that's going to happen. And, you know, it's good for racing. It's good. It's a sales. It really is, you know, for sales, isn't it? Mm. It's to showcase certain horses to a Far East market, especially Hong Kong.
Yeah, that's the intention. And look, nobody's saying that these are a golden bullet either. There's a good example from earlier in the season, a horse called Kingslayer, trained by Cormac Farrell. He bolted off in a barrier trial, beating a horse of McAlfred's called Roman Turbo, who won the Anglesey Stakes, was it, or the Railway, one of those, a right good horse. And they sent him to the Royal Ascot sale before he ran on the track to try and get him sold on the strength of the barrier trial. He didn't sell, and he's actually failed to win in his four starts on the track since. So, you know, it isn't a golden bullet, but it's really relevant information into the mix. And sure, as we all know, as punters or analysis, you know, relevant information into the mix should be greatly valued.
Will we be seeing schooling races soon up on the Irish Thoroughbred Marketing website?
Yeah. I don't know whether the site would cope with all those races at Thurles, would they? It's about 15 a day down there.
Yeah, well, I was saying to you guys before we went on air, I was down at the schooling races at Thurles one day in the spring, and there was three schooling bumpers being run simultaneously around the inside track at Thurles. So if you can keep track of what's going on there, you're a better man than me.
And I think going forward, as far as I'm aware, Kevin, you were telling me the Nace ones at least are finished for the time being. Are we talking about maybe an angle that could have been there for a while for punters, but bearing in mind recent events might now be quickly closed off, do you think?
Well, maybe the very best of the angle is closed, but I still think there'll be great value in paying attention to them. There'll still be plenty of horses. From what was maybe the most impressive performance of all of those barrier trials, that horse hasn't run yet, so I won't give it away. We want people to do their homework.
You better give it away.
You're going to have to give it away shortly, Kevin.
Well, I can't imagine she'll be too far under the radar, but a filly of Jessica Harrington's called Celestial Object. I think she's called. Barry has it here in front. We get down to the very bottom
typing
one there.
Away frantically here.
She's a Galileo filly owned by Newton Anner. Up one more, I'd say, Barry. There she is. Celestial Object. Yeah. She hasn't run yet, but she won her trial in quite stylishly by about a length and a half. And the closing sectional was the fastest time of the fastest closing sectional of the eight races that were run. And that particular trial was over 7 furlongs, whereas others were over shorter. So
she's a Galileo.
She has a big pedigree. She has big connections. She won't be a wild price, you'd imagine, when she does turn up. But
not now, anyway.
That was pretty eye catching for me. But again, they're a tool. You know, it just was surprising to me that so few people had seemingly tuned into them, because this was not a secret. It's been publicly available for a year and a half. But there we go. It's definitely not a secret now.
These are exactly the sort of nuggets that we're hoping to bring you on Racing Only Better, folks, in the coming weeks. I'm not sure whether any of the horses running in the Airgold Cup on Saturday will have run in a barrier trial, but it's high time we cracked on with a look at the big sprint handicap on Saturday afternoon. Comes up at 3:50. Barry, gives a market check with Buffer Zone, who won, obviously, on Irish Champions weekend, turning out quickly under a penalty. What sort of price are we talking?
Yeah, got a £5 penalty for that win, Gary. Convincing win as well in the Curragh on Sunday. He's 5-1 favour. 5 places on the sportsbook, the each-way punters. He's 6 on the exchange at the moment. Gulliver, who was also in that race in the Curragh for David O'Mara, he's an 8-1 chance from 9. Summerhand is an 8-1 chance. Arcebo, 10 from 14. That's come in for decent support and 14-1 major jumbo. But Buffer Zone, sure to go off a short price favour. It's just how short he gets. Obviously, the stable's in flying form. And Colin Keane, talk about flying under the radar. I think a lot of UK punters are sitting up and taking notice of Colin Keane now. He's definitely a jockey on the up.
Yeah, and as we'll be talking about a little bit later on in the podcast, a few runners in Britain this weekend for Ger Lyons. Kevin, last year we had an Irish winner, well, a joint Irish winner, Son of Rest, Dead Heat at Fozzie Stack's horse. What about history repeating itself? You can't always look at these things through green tinted specs, though, can you?
No, but I think it might be an Irish piece of form that comes to the fore. I thought the Bowl Lad that Barry just mentioned there, won by Buffer Zone, looks like a strong piece of sprint handicap form. Buffer Zone ultimately won quite well on the day, but things went smoothly enough for him. He was a little bit slow from the stalls, but didn't get punished for it. He had a bit of room and had the necessary pace to get back up and handy. And he put the race to bed well enough. And look, he gets in under a £5 penalty. That leaves him officially £3 well in. He's drawn beside a bit of pace. So look, there's plenty is there in his favour. One thing I'd say is he's never backed up quickly like this before in his life, so we don't know if he can do it. And to be honest, it was the one that finished third to him
that flew home.
That really, well, it took everyone's eye, I'm sure, but I'm just surprised the market hasn't seemingly taken more notice of it. Gulliver, trained by David O'Mara, looks as eye-catching as it gets, really. He came off the bridle at halfway, got a bit of a check soon after, but the real damage was done between the 2 pole and the 1 pole. He was put in jail in no uncertain terms and couldn't get out until the two that beat him had long flown. By my reckoning, he's made up 6 lengths in the final furlong, and it is a super run. And he has backed up quickly before, and won and run well. He's £4 better off with the winner, and there's plenty of pace drawn very close to him. So hopefully, look, the draw, the likes of the Bronze Cup and the Silver Cup will reveal more about the specifics of the draw.
Would you advise punters to hold fire until maybe seeing one or two of those or not?
You know, I'm comfortable enough that there seems to be loads of pace around him. Even the two horses either side of him are likely to contribute to the pace. So personally, I'd always focus more on pace unless there's a really blatant track issue at play, which, to be fair, at Ayr, there rarely is, I think. So as long as there's pace around him, which there very much seems to be, I'd be happy enough that if you wanted to go in before the likes of the Bronze Cup and that, I wouldn't put you off.
See, sometimes when those horses that are nearest that finish, is it more a case where the horses hit where the race has developed and obviously in this case, the winner has flown? You know, are the horses nearest a finish? Are they just passing tired horses? You know, the horse of Yuffie Gulliver was stopped in his run, got into a bit of trouble, you know, and he's flown at the finish. But is it not just that he's going by horses that have already turned? Like, if you hadn't seen that run in the Curragh, would you still fancy him for this race?
It's a great point, Barry, because they can be making cheap late gains. You know, while he was in jail, as I put it, you know, he was ultimately conserving energy while the likes of Buffer Zone were pushing forward and using energy. So there could definitely be an element of that. But the fact that he's made up so much ground when he's got out of jail would suggest to me that if he had a more a clearer passage in the penultimate furlong, that he, I think he would have nearly won, personally. But it's a fair point. People can often be, including myself, can often be fooled by those late gains, which are cheap, factored into the price.
It's interesting as well, because we're going to be talking to David Johnson of Time for Him shortly, and one of the horses he's picked out is a not dissimilar situation to the horse we're talking about there, Gulliver. Barry, just to wrap up on this, any other movers? Have you got a fancy yourself?
I do. I fancy Angel Alexander for Tom Dascombe. His horses are running well. He's one of only 2 3-year-olds in the field. He's the rag of the field. He's 33-1, but I think he'll definitely outrun that price. He's had 8 runs this year. 6 of them have been in Chester. No surprise there being a Tom Dascombe horse, but he's a horse that will enjoy a bit of giving the ground. I think to step up to 6 furlongs is really going to suit him. And like I said, I think he'll outrun the price of 33-1.
Kevin Gulliver, for you, how far would you be prepared to chase the price down? Is there much mileage left in it?
Yeah, well, look, in terms of relative to Buffer Zone is what Barry, about a 5-1 shot, and Gulliver's an 8-1 shot. I could certainly see them getting much closer together. And I could see Gulliver going off a 6-1 shot or something like that. So I think there is a little bit of juice still there.
Good stuff. Okay, that's the end of part one of Racing Only Better. When we return, we'll be hearing from David Johnson of Time Form as we go under the radar. Okay, welcome back to this Racing Only Better podcast in association with Betfair. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel across all podcast platforms. We've got the NFL Only Better every Wednesday, Football Only Better every Thursday. And as I say, this, of course, is Racing Only Better. And as promised, we're going to go under the radar now with David Johnson of Timeform. David, how are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. Gary, yourself?
Good man, not too bad at all. Kevin Blake and Barry Orr are with me here. They might have a little bit of feedback for you at some stage. I gather you and Kevin go back a while, is that right? Barry was looking for a bit of dirt earlier on.
Oh yeah, definitely. Before Kevin was famous, when he was just a young racing journalist trying to make it, so he came to Halifax to learn his trade, and we tried to pass on a few bits and bobs, but you know, we saved a few little secrets for ourselves still. But yeah, a long time ago now.
It'll all be in the memoirs, will it?
Certainly, yeah.
Good stuff. Okay, well, let's crack on then. I think you've got 3 horses for us to check out, David. The first of them is Wentworth Falls. And when I was having a look at this myself, this was a huge eye-catcher, wasn't it, at Doncaster last week? Just tell us a little bit more about the horse's background.
He was, yeah. I mean, the horse is trained by Jeff Harker. I think he's a 7-year-old now, so he's been around the block a bit. And what we saw from him at Doncaster on Saturday is what we often do. He travels really strongly in his races, comes with a rare rattle and finishes off well. But the problem on Saturday was he ended up getting too far back. He met a little bit of trouble, and then the race has all developed in front of him. He's come home strongly, but he's just had too much to do.
Yeah, Barry is shaking his head here, Jono. He's mouthing cheap late gains.
No, I just thought, Jono, I just thought, you know, he was 5th in the Portland, obviously. He was 4th in it, or 3rd in it last year. He wears cheek pieces and visors, and he's a 7-year-old, like you say. I just didn't think there was much improvement in him, and sometimes those horses, they only take it into their heads late on to start.
That's what we want, difference of opinion, Barry.
Yeah, he's definitely one I'd be taking on next day if he was any way short.
Well, thanks very much for that, Jono. We'll talk to you next week.
I'm sorry, watching the race, sometimes those horses you can maybe over-egg things a little, but to me it looked, coming from the back of the field, he would have won with a clear run. I don't know what you think.
It's one of them that on the day, if you just sort of take it in isolation and you look, they have gone a decent pace, you could say he might be flattered. But you look at the handicap mark, he was running here off 90. Go back in the spring, he stayed really well at Doncaster off 93. He was second at York off 95. So he's got that handicap mark to work with. Barry's right, he's not getting any better. He's a 7-year-old. We don't need him to get any better now. He's down to a mark of 90. If we can get him in one of these races where you're not having to take a short price about him, you know, he tends to go off double figures in these races where they pay 4 and 5 places. Okay, he's got a long losing run, but he usually hits the frame, so you're not really losing any money on him. You're often sort of getting those free bets with him because you're always getting the each way cash back.
Yeah.
And so I won't lay him in the place market just in the win.
Eureka. This is a eureka moment, Barry. Yeah, he's got a peak rating of 98, and he's definitely, I'll be keeping a close eye on him after that run last week. Second one, Dave, is a horse called Taverner, trained by Declan Carroll. This fella's done the rounds a bit, but he's miles below what he was capable of in his younger days. Did you see enough at Kempton the other day to suggest maybe there's another win on the horizon?
Yeah, I'm certainly hoping so, and that's the thing, you know, again, we're not talking improving horse, but it's easy to see, you know, that's not the purpose of what we're doing, is it? You know, we're trying to get these a little bit under the radar. And he operates at a low grade, but he's probably better at operating at the higher level still. He won in the spring off 68. He started the year off in 70, and he shaped well at Kempton the other night, off a mark of 50. Like you say, that was with Declan Carroll, and the way that he goes through his races, he's an early pace horse. He was over 7 furlongs at Kempton. That long straight doesn't necessarily suit, I don't think. And he just got caught late on by one that was well handicapped for having his first start for a new yard in Corfin for Milton Bradley. I think if you get Taverner back at 6 furlongs, possibly back at Lingfield, off a mark of 50, I think he's a winner waiting to happen, really.
Good man. Okay, and we got two for the price of one with the last one, a two-year-old race at Sandown last week, Spreadsheet and Many a Star. Now, I'll let you into a little secret, Dave. One of our guests in the studio here laid Spreadsheet, so he was very happy that on the face of things, maybe did they go a little bit too quick up front, these two cut each other's throats?
Yeah, that's definitely the angle. You know, we were on about the late headweight monkeys with Wentworth Falls. We've got the absolute opposite of that with Spreadsheet and Many a Star. They've gone far too hard over 5 furlongs at the Sandown Straight Course, and they've just fallen into a hole. And on the face of it, Spreadsheet looks disappointing. You know, he's beaten at 2-5, but given how the race unfolded, he was a lot better than that. And I certainly wouldn't be giving up on him. I think he's got a BHA mark of 85. He now obviously can go into nurseries after the 3 runs, and I would definitely still be interested in him.
Yeah, I thought actually the other horse, Barry, Many a Star, the way he finished off after A going
smashed
too hard
it up
and then being closed off a little bit, that was impressive.
Yeah, there was a big smash up and pace up front for sure. And I think, you know, the favourite that day, Spreadsheet, they went off way too fast. I think that goes without saying. But he was a bit fractious going into the stalls as well. I just watch out for that with him next time. He didn't want to go in and they had to load him last. And there was all sorts of shenanigans with him, you know, which was glad to see. He traded at 106 as well, 16-1 on, and got chinned. Like, I was closing down the laptop, hitting myself on the head, saying, there I go, getting laying horses again. What
You've
am I doing?
Given away
I'm
the
mad.
Secret, but I was going
to
leave that.
It was just when it was so short, so, yes. I just thought I had to take it on. But no, he wouldn't be one for me again, especially off a mark of 85. I think that is not a fair reflection of his ability.
Okay, it's going to be really fascinating to follow the progress of those four.
And we will be following them.
We will, most definitely. Yeah, that's the whole idea. David, listen, many thanks for your time, and we'll speak to you again soon. Appreciate it.
Excellent, thank you.
That's David Johnson of Timeform. That's the end of the Under the Radar section. We'll be back with you very shortly, looking ahead to some of the best of the weekend's action on Newbury and Ayr's Saturday card. Okay, we're going to take a look ahead to the best of the rest of the weekend's action. We've already spoken about the Ayr Gold Cup with Barry Orr and Kevin Blake here in studio. Guys, we're going to talk about the Ayr Silver Cup now, the main consolation race, and it might be potentially a guide to what to expect from the draw for the big one as well. Barry, give us the latest state of play. Alcarama favourite?
Yeah, very much so, Gary. Very strong at the head of the market at 7-2. Again, enhanced place terms in the Betfair Sportsbook. 5 places to each way punters. Lahore, your second best at 15-2. It's 10-1. Sweets show setter and Admiralty with Ben Curtis in the plate, who's riding particularly well. He's a 12-1 chance.
Trained by Sir Michael Stout, Kevin, this horse Alcarama, model of consistency as well. And Colm O'Donoghue, who of course is plying his trade a lot in Britain these days in the plates, one to be with or against, do you think, at that sort of price?
Looks short enough to me, Gary. Looks short enough. Look, it's clearly far less exposed than most of these. The case is an obvious one, but I'd go fishy-fishy at a slightly bigger price. And one that kind of jumped out off the page for me was Admiralty off top weight. Again, in common with the selection in the Ayr Gold Cup, this fellow ran an Irish Champions weekend as well in the Sovereign Pat, 7 furlong handicap there. And he ran quite well, to be fair. And, you know, you look at his form and, you know, he doesn't look like a wildly progressive horse, to be fair, but he's up here. I think he's up 4 pounds higher than his last winning mark. And he's been running well without winning off this type of mark all season. But the key for me here is the drop back to 6 furlongs. He used to be trained by Johnny Murta, and my view on him back in those days was that 6 suited him better than 7. And he's only had a handful of chances over 6 since joining Roger Fell, and both times the ground was quite testing. And while he has little bits and pieces of form on it, I think he's better on faster ground. So by the time we get to this race, I'm imagining the ground will be at least good, and the very last bits of good to soft seem to be in it at the minute, but that'll be gone, I think, with a dry forecast. So 6 furlongs, decent ground. I think he's potentially capable of, you know, he might only have 4 pounds to play with. So if something jumps out of the ground here with loads of improvement, he'll be vulnerable. But I think at the type of price he is, he's worth taking a chance on. He'll be ridden with a bit of restraint. There seems to be good pace in his neck of the woods. He's coming from a stall 15. So, look, he ticks a lot of the boxes for me. And the most important thing is that the price seems to be very fair.
Okay, good stuff. Let's go to Newbury then. Good action on ITV4. Are you on duty on Saturday, Kev, this week?
No.
A rare Saturday weekend of leisure. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Any plans?
Watch the racing.
bits and pieces now.
Watch ITV.
I won't say they're racing related, but the odd little bits and pieces planned, yeah.
Excellent stuff.
We'll watch this first.
Kev's
get it out of the way.
Big date looming, I think, so that's probably foremost in his mind. We're going to start with this 145, the Dubai International Airport World Trophy Stakes. Plenty of Irish interest in this, actually, with Hit the Beard and Blue Uluru. Barry, give us a market check there just at the moment.
Yeah, 13-8 Dakota Gold, 5-2 Equilateral. Judicial 11-2, 8-1 Hit the Bin. Blue LaRue is currently 14-1. She has a really interesting race. My lay of the weekend, Dakota Gold. I can't believe they didn't protect his handicap mark and go for the Air Gold Cup. You know, he won 4 races within the space of, 40-odd days. And it's that dichotomy for a trainer, Michael Dodds. What do you do? Do you, like, protect the handicap mark and send him to, like, aim at a £125,000 pot in air? He didn't. He's racing for first prize money at 34 grand in a Group 3 today. So, you know, you never stop a winning horse, obviously, and he's won those 4 races, a lot of them in quick succession, and now he's going for a Group 3 worth a third of the price of the handicap, which if he would have gone off a really short price favourite off a mark of maybe 100 and something or 98 in the Air Gold Cup. So I'm not saying he's campaigned him poorly, but for me, I think this is the hottest race he'll have contested so far, and 13-8, I think he's a massive lay this weekend.
Isn't that just a mad reality of the British programme book in particular, that you have that situation where trainers are better off playing a little bit clever and aiming for a big handicap than showing their hand straight down the line and running in stakes races? Because, like you say, these big handicaps are worth multiples of pattern races, which we're supposed to be aspiring towards with every horse that's in training. It's a bit mad, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose it's like he's obviously improved significantly as the season's progressed, and I suppose the owner as well has a big say in where he goes next. So when they're winning, it's very difficult to leave them in their box, isn't it?
But you would.
Well, looking at the pot for the Air Gold Cup, 125,000, like the prestige for a gelding and winning a Group 3 and 34 grand first prize money, there's nothing in it for him.
I'd be the same, Barry.
He'd be a 5-2 chance.
Would he really?
Yeah. Well, it depends what mark he'd have, but if you can in off 96, 98, he'd be short favourite.
I'd be the same as you, Barry. I'd be sneaky out as well with a horse.
I'm not
like
saying I'm sneaky now, Kevin, please.
Cunning. Yeah, let's call it cunning. Okay, Kevin, just a couple of Irish in there. As I say, Hit the Bid blew his top before the race, really, at the Curragh the other day, didn't he? It'd be difficult to have much faith in him, I think, after that. What about Blue Uluru, though? That's interesting, I think, for Gerry Lyons.
I'd actually be quite keen on her, Gary. I think I've always really liked this filly. She's very fast. You'll know her well from running over here. You know, they never seem to be going fast enough for her in her races. If you isolate her record over 5, it's very strong. And she looked, clearly things haven't gone right for her this season. She only reappeared a fortnight ago at Navan, but that was a good run. That suggested to me that all her ability is still there. This will require a career best, I think it's fair to say. But I just think a race like this, flat 5 at Newbury, when there's some real proper speedsters in here, such as Ornate and a couple of others, they'll go a proper gallop here. And I don't think she's ever really got that. And I think just being able to sit in behind a really fast pace will help her relax. And I'd like to think she'll produce a career best effort. And whether she improves quite enough to go and win this, Time will reveal all, but look, she's a double figure price. This race has a beautiful setup if you're an each way scumbag type of fella with the dead eight. So if you wanted to get
Betfair always encouraged that type of thing, Barry, don't they?
Well, I'd watch out in case there is a non-runner. Obviously, you revert to two places each way on the sports book, but on the exchange, that obviously still pays three places if you're playing in the place market. So that's one to watch out for, always on the exchange.
Absolutely, because I think I could see this filly running really well, and it wouldn't be a shock to me at all if she won, because, you know, she actually ran in the Mercury Stakes against older horses as a two-year-old, and she's probably never gone as fast in a race since than she will on Saturday. And I just think that'll really suit her well. There's a very good reason why she's here. There's just no five furlong races, stakes races in the programme book in Ireland for her for the rest of the season, bar the Mercury Stakes in a month. So I'd imagine the plan is to run here and then go to Dundalk. She holds an entry for that. But I could see her running very well here now. I think she's overpriced.
She's a workman's price of 14 to 1, yeah. Mm.
Okay, let's go on to the 220, the Dubai Duty Free Legacy Cup. Kevin, I'll start with you this time. Desert Encounter, favourite to rattle up a hat-trick here. Seven-year-old, know plenty about this horse at this stage, but it looks a good spot. What do you think?
It does, though. I can't say I have a big view in this one, Gary, but they call it an ARC trial, but it's really only been one in name for much of the recent history, I think it's fair to say.
in brackets, formerly the ARC trial, actually.
Well, there we go. That's for good reason. But Desert Encounter, to be fair to him, yeah, he's been good in his last two starts. Look, he's won two group threes, and this is his level, and he's tough to beat at it. I didn't find myself getting wildly enthusiastic about any of these from a betting perspective, but it should be a fun race to watch.
Round about a 6-4 shot, Barry, Desert Encounter.
Yeah, 6-4. Interestingly, beaten in this race last year before he went to Canada, and that's the goal for him again this year, to go for that invitational in Woodbine in Canada. So obviously the ground was soft last year. He's getting his ground this time round, but obviously this isn't going to be his Gold Cup by any way, shape or form, and Canada is really where it's at for him, so could be opposable. Pondus Ryan Moore says in his blog on Betfair, which you can read exclusively on betting.betfair, that obviously the improvement with Pondus has come, the significant improvement has come with plenty given the ground. He's not going to get that tomorrow. I have an interest in Walde Safa in it. Owen Burrows is the horses aren't really, they've come into a bit of form, but it's fair to say the last couple of seasons he has struggled. And this horse can be very in and out. Has ran in a tongue tie before. I don't think it runs in a tongue tie tomorrow. A mile three. I think if they try to get him to make all tomorrow, he could have a big chance and outrun his price at 13-2. So he's never won over the trip. Last day in Haydock, he pulled hard, but that was soft ground. I'd forgive him that run. I think on good fast ground tomorrow, to step up to the mile three, if they let him make the running, I think he could definitely outrun the 13-2 he is now. Big chance.
Okay, one more race to talk about on ITV4 on Saturday. That's the 255 at Newbury, the Dubai Duty Free Mill Reef Group 2 for the 2-year-olds. Kevin, for me, this is one of the most interesting runners on Saturday, is this Pierre Lapin for Roger Varian. I thought this was Royal Ascot material when he won at Haydock first time out, but you would imagine there's been some sort of issue. We haven't seen him since then, but he's favourite to win this on the back of just that one run. What do you reckon?
Yeah, he was very eye-catching that day, to be fair. He showed plenty of inexperience, but was very good, especially in the final furlong. He's a horse with a big pedigree. He's by first-season sire Capella San Severo, but he's a half-rudder to Harry Angel. So he very much caught the eye on paper. And look, it was a lovely start. But like you say, Gary, he hasn't been on holiday, I'd imagine, since. You know, he's been off for a good reason. And he must have had a setback of some sort. So that would be concerning enough to me to take him on at the price. And the one that I liked against them was a Mallow True of Marco Botti's. He's an interesting horse. He was very impressive first time at Chelmsford. And then they went to Italy with him for a Group 3. And that race is actually on YouTube if you fancy chasing it up. And he was very impressive that day, to be fair to him. Comes back for the gym crack and he's run a super race. You know, things have gone wrong for him. He's been bottled up really until the final furlong and he's come home to good effect. Look, I know he's beaten five lengths, but, you know, for me, the gym crack on paper looks a stronger race than the Mill Reef does here on Saturday. And he's definitely better than the Bear Form. You'll notice that the three that finished in front of him were all right up there in the van the whole way, whereas he's come from further back. And, you know, the race was developing while he was bottled up. So that he could finish off as well as he did, I thought was a very good run. I know some people read his run in the gym crack as suggesting he wants to go seven furlongs now. I wouldn't agree. I think he'll be fine at six for the time being. And yeah, dropping class each way, sort of price in another race with the dead eight. So
you love those, don't you?
He loves it.
just filthy each way. Just pointing out a point of a point of information for the listeners.
No, funny, Pierre Lapin, he was 6-1 this time yesterday. He's 5-2 favourite now, Gary. And
was he that big an issue?
Yeah,
okay.
You're speculating there. You know, where has he been? He did get quotes for the Coventry off the back of that win in Haydock, and nothing went right for him that day. There's a road crossing down to 6 furlong chute in Haydock that he tried to jump. Then he got blocked in his run. He had to pull wide, but and he won so convincingly afterward. He looked a really, really decent prospect.
And he
prospect.
Was a short price favourite that day. Too.
Yeah, he went off short that day. Yeah, exactly. But David Johnson, who we've just had on the line, did pose the question on Twitter a couple of days back. Does anyone know where he's been? That he didn't show up in Royal Ascot. And a guy called Charlie Sutton, Suts 109.
He's Roger Varian's racing manager.
Racing manager just came back and said, just took a bit of time to strengthen up, nothing major. So, you know, it seems all is well with the horse, according to the racing manager for Roger Varian. He has been supported. He's into 5-2 from 6-1 that we initially went up when the decks came true. And like I said, nothing seemed to go right from that day. He could take an awful lot of beating in that race. He really is the unexposed horse in there, and could be anything.
Yeah, I really did like what I saw that day at Haydock. Hopefully he'll be able to return in the same sort of form. Okay, that brings us to the end of our look ahead to the weekend action. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel across all podcast platforms. We've got the NFL Only Better every Wednesday, Football Only Better every Thursday, and as I say, this of course is Racing Only Better.